Hey everybody, it's Sarah Kornack here at the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, and I am so glad you have joined me for episode 46. Today we're talking all about the IRS, what you need to know for your small business. We've actually had quite a few questions from different listeners about business formation, when you need to register your business, just various tax and business registration type questions. So I wanted to address some of those here today. For those of you who may not know, I am an accountant. I have my CPA license, although I have currently put it on inactive status. After I left my part-time job at my audit firm, I decided to put my license on inactive. And as a caveat here, although I am an accountant and I have my CPA, my actual accounting experience was mostly in nonprofit and government audit. So although I have experience in tax and IRS issues and small business and bookkeeping, that wasn't my primary focus for my career. So when it comes to taxes, if you have a complicated tax issue or difficult questions, I would certainly recommend that you talk to a tax professional, somebody who knows the ins and outs of taxes and does that full time or really knows their stuff when it comes to taxes, because there's so much to know when it comes to taxes. And plus, it's always smart to consult someone who knows your entire tax picture. They can make the best judgment calls for you on how you need to proceed or what you need to do. Although I feel like my advice to you today is going to be very good and very sound, I would also say you still may need to talk with a tax professional if you have a difficult situation. But if your taxes are pretty straightforward, you may surprise yourself that you may be able to handle this on your own, and maybe some of this information will get you started to know what you need to do for your business to be in good standing with the IRS and move forward from there. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
My first piece of advice to new business owners would be to keep your business transactions separate from your personal transactions. Even if this means a separate credit card that's still in your name, it's still a personal credit card, but that's the one credit card you use for your business expenses. Or if you have a separate bank account, I would definitely recommend a separate bank account, even if it's just a personal account, but you know that this bank account is where you run all of your business transactions through. Keeping everything separate keeps the IRS happy, and it helps you to have better records when it comes time to do your taxes at the end of the year. So that, I would say, is your number one priority. It's easy to do, and it's the best way to handle your income and your expenses from your business. The next thing I wanted to talk about is a question that was raised in our episode 45. Is this a business or is this a hobby? The IRS has some guidelines on how you can tell, is what I'm doing just considered a hobby by the IRS, or is what I'm doing considered a business, and then therefore you need to start really treating it like a business. There are 9 factors that the IRS considers, and I'll have the link in the show notes to all of this information. Everything that I'm talking about, the IRS covers on their website, irs.gov, and I will have the links to those specific pages in my show notes so that you can come and reference them. So basically, the IRS has 9 factors that you should consider when you're determining, is this a hobby or is this a business? But the main factor to think about is, are you conducting this with the purpose of making a profit? If that is the purpose of what you're doing, the IRS says you're probably a business. If you are just making something for fun, selling the occasional one or two, you might be a hobby. I'm not going to run through all of the criteria that the IRS sets out, but like I said, the links will be there. They're looking at, Are you carrying on the activity like a business? What's the time and effort that you're putting into this? Do you depend on that income from this hobby or business? So things like that. I would guess most of us out there, maybe when you're first starting out, classifying it as a hobby could work. But as you get further along in the game, it will become more and more obvious that this is really a business that you have here. Now, let's say you determine right now this is just a hobby. You're trying things out. You're selling a few things at a craft show. You still have to report your hobby income on your tax return. You can't go to a craft show and sell $200 worth of stuff and not claim that on your taxes. You still have to claim hobby income on your taxes, but you can also claim your hobby expenses on your taxes, but only to the amount of your revenue. So if you earned $200 one year selling baked goods at a craft show, you could deduct $200 worth of expenses related to making those baked goods, but you couldn't deduct more than that. I do think most people don't realize that even hobby income has to be reported to the IRS. It's awfully tempting to just pocket some spare cash, but obviously that's not the right thing to do. Incidentally, did you know that even if you have illegal earnings, you are required by law to report illegal earnings to the IRS, which I think is very interesting. I'm sure most people with illegal earnings are not then going to take the legal route when it comes to the IRS. Okay, so maybe right now it sounds like, well, I really want to be a hobby because if I can deduct expenses against my revenue, then maybe it would be nice to be treated like a hobby. Well, the one advantage of a business, or one of the advantages of a business, is if you're a business and your expenses exceed your revenue, you can deduct all of your expenses, even if they're greater than your revenue. So if your revenue is only, well, hopefully not only $200 for the year, and your expenses were $500, true, genuine business expenses, if you were a business, you could deduct that full $500 of expenses on your taxes, and that loss would go against other types of income that you might have, income on a W-2 or income from your spouse. So that can be nice. Now, here's an interesting rule that can also help you determine if what you're doing is a business or a hobby in the eyes of the IRS. The IRS has this rule involving profit in the last 3 of the 5 years, and here's how it works. Let's say you are claiming, you're filing your taxes as if what you're doing is a hobby. The IRS is going to be looking at that, and if in 3 of the last 5 years you had a profit, they're going to say, no, this is not a hobby, this is a business. So if your hobby is generating a profit in 3 out of the last 5 years, you have to be a business in the eyes of the IRS. You do not have a choice. The specific language is the IRS presumes that an activity is carried on for profit as a business if it makes a profit during at least 3 of the last 5 tax years. Now, this rule goes the other way too, which is interesting. Let's say you are carrying on business with the IRS. You're treating your business like a business in the eyes to the IRS. And you've been deducting all of your expenses, even if your expenses were more than your revenue. Well, the IRS is going to apply that same rule. They're going to look at the last 5 years of tax returns. And if you don't have profits in 3 of the last 5 years, they're going to say, no, you're not a business. You cannot deduct all of these expenses. You have to be treated as a hobby and only deduct the expenses up to your revenue. I know this is a little bit confusing, and I'm probably not doing a great job explaining it. But basically, the IRS does not want you to be deducting losses from a business year after year after year without ever showing a profit. I guess in the past, people were using these businesses that they would create as tax shelters. And year after year after year, these businesses were having a loss. And the IRS caught on and said, okay, we're going to put in this rule. If you don't have a profit in 3 of the 5 years, then we're not going to let you deduct all these extra losses. You can only deduct the losses then up to the revenue. Now, these rules apply to from this way, saying, no, you're not a business. This rule, this 3 of the last 5 years rule, applies to sole proprietorships, partnerships, and S-corps. So if you have a complicated business structure, corporations, this does not apply to. But I don't think any of us are forming corporations at this point, or at least most of us aren't. So that's why these rules apply to our type of businesses. The IRS also has one other little tricky sticking point. If you are saying that you have a business and you're treating it like a business to the IRS, they do have another rule. If you have excess losses that you want to take against other revenue or other income, they have a material participation rule, which says if you want to take these extra losses, you have to have materially participated in the business. So you can't form a partnership with 10 other people. It has a big loss for the year, and you get to take this loss without having done anything in the partnership. They're trying to prevent scenarios like that. There are lots of different scenarios with material participation, but basically, if you're a sole proprietor, then you're the only one really working on the business, then they consider that materially participating. Another way that you can show that you have materially participated in the business is if you have put 500 hours into that business in a year, then they consider that materially participating. So to give you an example of how this might work, if you have a partnership, 2 people in the partnership, and maybe it's only your first or second year in business. And so it is very normal to have a loss early on when you're starting a business. And let's say you have a $1,000 loss for the year. In a partnership, that loss will be split between the two of you according to your partnership agreement, whatever you decided when you went into business together. Let's say you materially participated in the business that year. You worked at least 500 hours, or you were the only person really working on the business that year. You can deduct your portion of the loss on your tax return, on your personal tax return, because partnership income and loss runs through your personal tax return. But let's say your business partner did not materially participate in the business. They would not be allowed to deduct the loss on their personal tax return that year. Keep in mind also, I'm giving you the very upper end idea of some of the rules of material participation, but the rules are actually a bit more complicated than this, so you will need to bear that in mind when you go to do your personal taxes. Take a look in your tax program. They'll have resources for definitions of material participation or ask you questions about it, so you'll need to pay attention to that. But these are the general rules. The rules that most often apply are either you were the only one working on the business or you worked 500 hours in the business for the year. Okay, let's move on from the distinction between hobby and business. If you guys have questions, maybe let me know on the comments or on Facebook, and I will do my best to help with these questions. But like I said, your specific situation, you may need to consult your own tax accountant on some of these scenarios. I'm just telling you what the IRS says, but without knowing everybody's particulars, I may not be able to make these determinations for you. Okay, let's move on. Let's say that you are a business. Maybe you're a sole proprietorship. It's just you. Or let's say maybe you're a partnership. you're working with a friend or a relative. If you are a business, then I would recommend getting an EIN number from the IRS. And it is actually really easy. They now have an online process where you can fill out the form and immediately get your EIN number. And that's basically every business has an EIN number to distinguish it, similar to maybe like a social security number for an individual. The EIN kind of is like that for a business. And here's how it can help you. For instance, many of the supplies that Beth Ann and I buy for the Amateur Naturalist Etsy shop that we have, we are able to buy the supplies wholesale. But the only reason we can buy wholesale is because we are a business with an EIN number. Many of our wholesale vendors ask us for our business name and our EIN number, and that allows us to get some great prices and to make more of a profit buying wholesale instead of retail. So being able to buy wholesale is a huge benefit that comes from having an EIN number. And it honestly is so easy on the IRS website. And I will link to the page in the show notes. So if you're a business, I would just go ahead and get it. And then you're ready when you find that awesome wholesale supplier, you'll have that EIN number to give to them. So that's one main question that we've been getting or that people have about being a business and the IRS. Here's the other question that people have a hard time understanding, or they don't realize that they can do this as a business. And this is the issue of mileage and car expenses. Every time, as a small business, as a sole proprietor or a partner in a partnership, you drive your personal vehicle when you go to the store to pick up supplies, when you go to the post office to mail an order, when you go to the office supply store to make photocopies. You're using your personal vehicle. And if you are a business, you can deduct mileage as an expense that you incurred using your personal vehicle for business purposes. Now you need to keep a log. You need to write down a record of the date and where you went and the miles that you drove. So keep good records. But for every mile that you drive for a business purpose in your personal vehicle, the mileage rate for 2014 was 0.56 cents. So for every mile that you drive, you can claim 56 cents of expenses on your taxes that will go against your business revenue. So obviously, we don't want to pay more taxes than we need to. If you make $5,000 in revenue, you want to make sure you count all of those expenses that you can legally take against that revenue to reduce the amount of money that you have to pay taxes on. If you only have to pay taxes on $4,000 or $3,000 or $2,000, you don't want to miss something. And mileage is something you are allowed to take for your business, and it will help reduce the amount of revenue that you're paying taxes on. So if you forget to do your log, or maybe to double check that you didn't miss anything, pull out that credit card statement or that bank statement at the end of the year and say, every time you see a charge, oh, I went to Pat Catan's. Oh, I went to the post office. I did this. I mean, you know the miles that it takes. You can MapQuest the amount of miles it takes to drive from your house to that store and back and deduct those expenses. A lot of people think that they can just add up all of their car repair bills and deduct all of that on their business taxes, but that's not how it works. The mileage rate is supposed to cover gas and wear and tear on your vehicle. So do not forget to calculate and log your mileage for the year so that you can deduct that as a business expense. Now, as we wrap up, we've covered a lot of things with the IRS. We've covered how you need to keep things separate, separate credit card, separate bank statement, even if it's in your name, not a business name, keep it separate. We've talked about getting an EIN number and why that can help you get better pricing from a wholesale dealer. We've talked about, is your business a hobby or is it really a business? And those distinctions. Those items relate to the IRS, the federal government side of things. But then, of course, there is the state side of things. And unfortunately, I can't actually give you a lot of guidance on the state end of things because every state is different. So if you are trying to register your business in your state, there are various forms or various things that you will have to do to register your business. I know in Pennsylvania, we had to file this PA-100 form. We had to file a doing business as form, things like that. We had to file for a sales tax license, and we have to pay sales tax on any of our amateur naturalist sales that occur within Pennsylvania. But your state is going to be different. The IRS does have a nice pretty page that links to all the different states and brings you to the portion of the state website that can get you started on what you need to do to register in your state to be a business. So I will have that page linked in the show notes. Although I can't speak specifically to your state requirements, what I would say is don't put it off. If you know your business and you're in it for the long haul, there is no reason to delay your state registrations or your IRS registration with your EIN number. Speaking of which, I'm glad I was touching on this point now. I forgot to mention earlier that as far as the IRS goes and the federal government, for your business, all you need to do is that EIN number. As long as you are just a sole proprietorship, one person, or a partnership. It's super easy. You do the EIN, you're done. And everything else, they just want to make sure you pay your taxes right. But business registration is really handled through the states. That's the way it's set up. The states are the ones that handle the registration of businesses. And the IRS, I mean, yes, they want you to get an EIN number so that you have a number assigned to you as a business, but they just care about the fact that you then pay your taxes. Because your income from a sole proprietorship or a partnership runs through your personal income taxes, it's called being passed through. There is nothing else on the IRS end that needs to be done for that sole proprietorship or that partnership, which most likely that is what your business formation will be. So that end of things is actually easier than you were probably thinking it would be. All right, after that little interlude, back to our discussion on registering with your state. So it's not fun. It takes some research, but just do it and you'll feel so much better that you have that big task done and you will know that you are properly registered with your state to do business. States don't really like it if you've been selling products and not collecting and remitting sales tax for even a short time when you were supposed to be doing that. So if you know your business and you're in this for the long haul, don't wait. Do the messy job of that state research, filing those forms, and get yourself registered as a business with your state. I hope this episode was somewhat helpful for you. I know that the IRS can be very intimidating, but actually their website, maybe it's just me, but I find it not too bad to use. They actually have a small business section on their website with some useful things when you're getting started in business or when you're closing down a business. And their search feature usually turns up what I'm looking for anyway when I go to search there. And honestly, if you are a sole proprietorship or a partnership, oh, I forgot to mention this earlier, and you're trying to maybe keep doing your taxes on your own, it is actually more doable than you might think to keep doing your federal taxes on your own. Just make sure you get a tax program that allows you to do the forms required for a business. So you may have to buy a tax software or do a tax program online. that is a little bit higher up than your usual just standard tax return. So you may have to pay a little bit more money for it. But if it has those questionnaires and those forms that you'll need to file your business taxes, it really isn't too bad. As long as you can add up your expenses and add up your revenue, answer a few questions, you should be good. So keep that in mind as, you know, we're getting closer to tax season. So buy that program that could actually help you to do your business taxes. And then check out the show notes. Look at some of the links that I'm provided to figure out if you're a hobby or a business. Check out some of the links for your state on what you would need to do to register. I'll have that link for getting an EIN number, and you'll be on your way. So like I said, feel free to ask me any questions in the comments or on Facebook, and I will do my best to help you. And if I don't know the answer, I will definitely just tell you I don't know the answer. I don't want to steer you in the wrong direction. There are others out there that are vastly more qualified at the tax law than I am. I do my taxes every year, and I do our business taxes every year. So I have experience, but the IRS tax code is just, it's just a monster. Someday I'll get on my soapbox and share how they should amend the entire tax code. I think that's probably not a great discussion for this point. Someday. All right. Well, that's all for today. I hope you did learn something. I hope you got some takeaways, and maybe you just feel a little bit more confident about starting your business the legal way now. So now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.